All right, take your Bibles. We'll go to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 11. Joshua chapter 11 this morning, reading verses 15 through 23. Joshua chapter 11, verses 15 through 23 this morning. Lord willing, you'll have a good week this week. I know you got holidays coming up, Thanksgiving, and probably traveling and whatnot, so be safe as you go out. Normal church service on Wednesday night. See if we can get out a little earlier just to save you a little bit of time, but I'm not going to make any promises on that. All right, Joshua chapter 11 and verse 15. As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. So Joshua took all the land, the hills, all the south country, all the land of Goshen in the valley, in the plain, in the mountain of Israel, in the valley of the same, even from Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, even unto Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon under Mount Hermon, and all their kings he took and smote them and slew them. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All other they took in battle. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly, that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir and Adab, and all the mountains of Judah, and from the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod there remained. So Joshua took the whole land according to all the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes. And the land rested from war. Let's pray. Now, Father, as we come before you, Lord, I just need you to get in here this morning. I need the Holy Spirit to be able to work within our hearts, within our minds, Lord. Pray that you would take all the cares of this world and all the things that are going on in our lives and just take them and put them aside, Lord. Help our minds to focus this morning upon the Word and allow the Holy Ghost to be able to deal with our hearts, Lord, individually so that we can hear something from you today. We thank you for your Word today, Lord, what it's able to do, what it's able to work in our heart and able to accomplish in our lives. I ask, Lord, that you would take me and set me aside, wash me in the blood, hide me behind the cross. Lord, pray that nothing comes out of my mouth this morning that would be a hindrance to the preaching of your word, but that Jesus Christ would be glorified in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. By the time you get to Joshua chapter 11, you have an amazing chapter, because what is done at this point is they have had many wars, they have had many victories. Matter of fact, they've had all victories. If you flip the page and go to Joshua chapter 12, you're going to find a list of the 31 kings that are destroyed as they come into the land of Israel there in the land of Canaan. Joshua chapter 12 verse 24 says that there was 31 in total that Joshua and the children of Israel had overcome. So what you find in Joshua chapter 11 is really a point in our hearts that we can look at the scripture and realize that all these things that have been going on from the book of Exodus and Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all the culmination now has come into Joshua, where the children of Israel had fought and they had murmured and complained and been disgruntled against God, and all the issues that took place in Exodus through Deuteronomy. By the time you get to Joshua, all that stuff is put down and all you have is victory that just continues to come through the book of Joshua, and with the victories that they receive are fruits that follow. Remember, in the Christian life, when you're getting victory in the Christian life and you're getting victory over sin or victory over yourself or victory over Satan, whoever it may be, you're going to find that there's going to be some fruit that's going to follow, and the fruit is always good fruit, but you don't get fruit without putting in effort. You got to look to get through the victories, get through the wars, get to the victories, and then look for the fruit, but the fruit is always good. And what is enjoyable about this chapter is the fact that you're seeing something take place in this book that the children of Israel are enjoying, that their children are enjoying, that the parents didn't enjoy. Remember, when you get back into Numbers, all of the old people were murmuring and complaining, and they didn't have faith to go forward. But when you get into Joshua, the young people, now they're not too young, because by that time most of them are in their 40s, and they're moving forward. But at that point, the children of the murmurers and complainers are the ones that are getting the victories. They're the ones that are seeing the fruit and the evidence of obeying the Lord. And one of the great blessings we have, especially you young people here, is that you can see in this book is that there's fruit to be had when you're raised in a good home and you've got the Word of God on your side and you've been doing right since a child. You'll be able to see the victories that the Lord has given you, but you'll also see the fruit that comes from it, and you'll see the blessings that come from living for Jesus Christ. So that's some of the things we're going to focus on here in Joshua chapter 11. The first thing you're going to see that these people had is this. They had complete obedience. I want you to think about that. Complete obedience. Do you understand obedience isn't really obedience unless it's done completely, right? If you don't obey completely, I mean, theoretically, you've been disobedient. But how many times in Exodus through Deuteronomy were the children of Israel disobedient? They didn't fulfill what God told them to do. Now you find that they have been obedient. Verse 15 says, the Lord commanded Moses, his servant. So did Moses command Joshua. So did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Complete obedience. And once you've performed complete obedience in your life, you know what you get? You get some fruit. You get some blessings that come from it. And one of the blessings that they enjoy here in Joshua chapter 11 is being able to have the testimony that they have finished the task that the Lord gave them. They have completed exactly what God gave them to do that nobody had done before this time. You understand that as believers today, we should have testimonies that we have completed things that nobody in our families have done before. You should have a testimony for that. Maybe, listen, some of you are first generation Christians, some of you are second generation Christians. But regardless of where you are in the Christian life, you ought to have a testimony of complete obedience where you've done exactly that the Lord told you to do, you finished what He told you to do, and you have a testimony that it works. It always works. When you obey the Word of God, it always comes to pass. It always works out exactly as the Lord would explain or would have you to do. They enjoy a testimony that reflects that they've been obedient, and it's a testimony that their forefathers did not have. Think about that for a minute. You think about your Christian life, and I know we struggle. We fight through the Christian life. We get victories. We have defeats. But do you have testimonies of obedience in your life that maybe your parents didn't have? Would to God that you, if you've been saved and you're a second generation Christian, you're doing better than your father and mother did. That's how it should be. You say, why? Because you want to keep going ahead. You've had a better chance. I look at my life, and when I got saved, my mom got saved, my grandparents got saved, we all got saved at the same time. So we're all first-generation Christians making it through the navigation of the Christian life. My children were raised differently than I was raised. Raised in a different environment, raised in a different kind of home, raised in a better situation. There's no excuse for them not to do better than I have done. And if they don't do better than I have done, they'll give account of that to the Lord. Because the Lord's going to show them how they were protected and how they were taken care of and how they were nurtured and how they were raised properly. And if they don't follow that, then the Lord says, you're accountable to it. Because I didn't have all of that. And some of you didn't have all that. But your kids do. And your kids better rise. You kids better understand that when I say kids, some of you kids aren't kids. Some of you are in your 20s. Now you have aspirations that are much higher. And you have an advantage that your families didn't have. And what a testimony it will be to stand before the Lord one day and be able to see that you did better than your family did. And that's something that parents would be proud of. That's something that no parent in this room would be upset that you did better than them in the Christian life. That should be something to aspire to. But not only that, they completed a task that others thought was unattainable. Remember back in Numbers when they were told to go into the promised land and the 12 went in, they searched it out. 10 of them came back and said, we cannot overtake this land. It cannot be done. Only Joshua and Caleb said it could. But because the 10 caused everybody to grumble and complain, they weren't able to go in. Well, now the children that they were so worried about dying are now the children going into the promised land. And those same children now have had children. And they're raising children. And they are going into the promised land and they're getting victories. You say, what are you trying to get at? People thought it was unattainable. You know there are people out there that think the Christian life is unattainable? That you can't live for Jesus Christ? You can't live above the world? You can't be separated unto the Lord to please Him. You can't read your Bible faithfully. You can't pray the way you're supposed to. You can't serve God the way everybody thinks you should. Yes, you can. It might just be a few people that do it, but you know what? When you look at this group of people, they have attained something that their fathers thought was unattainable. They went in and they finished the job that God gave them. What a testimony. I'm always inspired when I read 2 Timothy chapter 4 when Paul is talking about finishing his course. What a blessing to be able to say that you finished. Now again, that finishing doesn't take place till the end of your life, till you're old. And when you get over here to chapter 13, I think it is, you read Joshua was old and stricken in years. Where's Joshua at? He's old. I mean, you understand that by the time he's going in to fight, he's over 80 years old. And he's led the children of Israel into battle. And he is fighting and he is being the testimony. And the Bible says that Joshua did all that he was told to do. Moses didn't do that. You understand, Moses doesn't have that testimony. But Joshua has that testimony. You know why Joshua has that testimony? Because he's a type of Christ. Joshua is one of the greatest type of Christs in the Word of God. He fulfills all the commands the Lord gives him, Joshua does, and so does Jesus Christ. A great picture, a great type of our Savior. But what we see with these folks, because they performed complete obedience, they aspired to things that were unattainable, and they got it, and they enjoyed the blessings. The blessings of knowing that it is possible not only to please God, but it's possible to finish the task that's before you. It's possible to do what God tells you to do. It's possible to live for Jesus Christ in a backward, rebellious, bent forward generation where nobody is doing right, where people don't think right, where people don't act right. That doesn't mean you can't do it. Joshua chapter 11 is a reminder that we can live for Christ, we can have victory, and we can enjoy the fruit of victory. And regardless of what everybody says or what other people think, it is attainable. I'm tired of people saying it's too hard to be a Christian. No, it's not. It's not too hard to live for Christ. It's hard to live for the world. People say, well, you know, Christianity has too high of expectations. And the world doesn't? The world doesn't have high expectations for you? The world doesn't have high ideals for you of what you should aspire to be? Why, the Word of God is reasonable. The Bible says the Word of God is reasonable and that the Lord's commandments are not grievous. They're perfect and they're there for us and they're not out of reach. Living for Christ isn't something that you can't do. If you're willing to put in the work. You know what the problem is? People don't want to put in the work today. They don't want to put in the effort. It takes effort to live for Jesus Christ. It takes work to live for Jesus Christ. It takes some heart to desire to say, you know what? I'm going to be different than everybody else. I'm not going to do what my mother and father did. I'm not going to act the way my family act. I'm going to act in a way that God wants me to act. I'm going to live in a way God wants me to live. And it can be done. But you have to fight for it, and you got to be willing to be obedient, and not partial obedience. God's not interested in partial obedience. He wants it 100%. He wants you just to yield it all to him and just live for him and put Christ first. Now notice, second of all, in verses 16 to 17, the Bible says Joshua took all the land, the hills, all the south country, all the land of Goshen, and the valley, and the plain, and the mountain of Israel, and the valley of the same, even from Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, even unto Baal-Gad, and the valley of Lebanon, under Mount Hermon, and all the kings he took, and smote them and slew them. You know what they did next? They didn't just perform complete obedience to get the fruit of victory, but they conquered the land. They conquered the land. The land that they thought they could not conquer. Remember, it had cities with great walls, and the people were a great amount of people, and there were giants in the land, and they thought, there's no way we can take over this land, and they went and conquered it. Matter of fact, they went in and conquered something that their forefathers thought they couldn't do, and they did it in less than about 7 years. They went in and just conquered the land and overtook the land, and they were able to enjoy the fruit of the land after they brought it under submission. Remember, before they crossed the Jordan, they were getting manna every day. But once they crossed the Jordan, now they were going to have to fight. And now they were going to have to overcome those cities and overcome them people. But they were able to do it. And what that is a great picture of the Christian life. As you go forward, when you're being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, the next thing you have to do is you got to learn to conquer the land. You got to learn to overcome yourself. You got to learn to bring your flesh unto submission. And boy, you got to do it every day. And you got to fight to bring your mind into subjection to Jesus Christ. And you got to fight to bring your flesh unto subjection to Jesus Christ. But if you'll do that, the Lord says you'll enjoy the fruit of the land. You know what? When you as a believer bring your body under subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you let that new man have control, don't you get to enjoy the fruits of being saved? Amen. You know, there is goodness that comes from being saved. Just not having to yield to the flesh. Just not having to deal with all of the trouble that the flesh brings about. The only thing the flesh brings you is just difficulty, troubles, agonies, sorrows, disheartenedness. Why, you just need to push yourself forward. You got to learn that you got to bring the flesh under subjection, just like they brought the land under subjection. You bring that new man out and you let that new man have control, and you bring that flesh out and you put him under control, and now the fruit of the new man is going to be seen daily. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians? He says, I die daily. You know how you get control over the land every day? You got to die to self every day. You know, self seems, I'll tell you, there's something about that old man. He just rises up all the time, and you can put him down every single day. And you know what happens when you wake up the next morning? He pops right up with you. And he's ready to run the day. It doesn't matter if you've had victory for 30 days in a row. On the 31st day, the old man pops up and he's saying, today I'm going to have control. Today I'm going to do what I want to do. And you've got to learn just to put him down. But what's some of the blessings of putting him down? Well, not having to give in to self. Not giving in to sin. Why, there's some fruit that comes from putting down the flesh. If you've been saved for any period of time, and the Lord's given you victory over sin, and the Lord has put you on the right path, haven't you enjoyed being saved? Don't you look and see folks that are struggling with sin and struggling with their flesh, and don't you feel bad for them? And don't you feel glad you don't have to fight that stuff, because you already fought that battle way back here and you won that battle? Why, you need to grow. Why, we need to conquer land. You know, the longer you're saved, the more you conquer about yourself. Why, there should be something about yourself that you need to defeat, you need to put down. There's always part of that flesh that you'll always fight till you die. But you know what? If you conquer them and you keep putting them down, isn't life better when you're serving Jesus Christ? If you've been saved for any period of time, you'd say yes. By anybody that served their flesh for any period of time and then got saved and started serving the Lord, they'll tell you it's better to serve Christ than it is to serve the flesh. It's better to serve the Lord Jesus Christ than to serve all of the lusts that the world has. But you got to conquer it. Some people think it's unattainable. Just like those Jews thought they couldn't take that land. Some people think, I just can't live for Christ. It's too hard. Well, what is a battle? A battle is a fight. A battle is something that you're going to have to give a little bit of blood in it. There's going to be some fights that you're going to have when you're living for Christ, and there's going to be some victories that you're going to enjoy, but there's going to be battles that are going to leave you with blood and bruises, and you're going to have all kinds of issues that'll come from it physically in that sense. But you know what? The fruit of it will be that you got it out of your life. Sometimes you just got to remove things. It always amazes me how Christians let new things into their lives when they should have never let it in. Little things. I mean, why do we let little things get into our lives after we've gotten rid of big things? I was reading an article. I don't even know who I was telling the article to. They were getting rid of some building. I can't remember what the building was. They were getting rid of it. Oh, I know. That's what it was. When I grew up downstate, down in River Rouge, there was the old ice arena that I used to go to as a kid, and I was just reading a little article from the group there online, and they were talking about they were destroying the old ice arena. But before they destroyed the old ice arena, they went in and sent pest control in to get rid of all the rodents before they destroyed the old ice arena. Never even thought of that. Because their concern was, if they destroy the ice arena without getting rid of the rodents, where are all the rodents going to go? They're going everywhere else. Never thought of that. Just some little, they're going in there, going to wipe out this big old thing, and they're worried about a rat and a mouse. Praise God, they're worried about a rat and a mouse. Why, there's more destruction come from a rat and a mouse than that old building getting tore down. You see, sometimes you got to remember that these victories and these battles and these things that we overcome, sometimes the little things are just as important as the big things. But boy, when you're cleaning stuff up, the Lord gives that victory and you're able to see some things happen and you get to conquer some stuff. And the believer that conquers one sin at a time will find that as they slowly get control of their life, they get more power by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Haven't you noticed that the more you bring that flesh under control and get victory over that old life of yours, the Holy Ghost has more power over you. And when he tells you to do something, there isn't any hesitation anymore. Remember when the Lord would put something on your heart and you'd say, I can't do that. Well, I've got this going on. I can't do that. I got this problem over here. But the slowly and surely you bring that flesh under control, all of a sudden when the Holy Ghost impresses you to do something, it's just, you do it. Because the flesh doesn't control you anymore. We've conquered it. And that's what the Lord wants you to look at. Verse 21. Third thing that they did to get the fruit of victory is they were courageous over the giants. Remember back there in Numbers, one of the things that they were afraid of before they came into the promised land were the giants in the land. Notice in verse 21, at that time Joshua cut off the Anakims, giants, from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, and from Anab, and all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. The Anakims were the giants. Notice down there in verse 22, there was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod there remained. Remember, Gath is where Goliath comes from. But that's over there in Gaza. That's off to the side, Philistines' land. But they went in and wiped out all the giants. That means that there were some battles that ensued that before they went in, I'm sure those men were listening and thinking about the old stories the old men told them about the giants of the land, right? Because that's what old men like to talk about, is they like to tell stories. Old men love to tell stories about things that they encountered before. And sometimes old men will even embellish stories of things that they encountered before. Well, these men certainly had heard the stories about the giants, but I think when they went to fight the giants, they weren't as big as they thought they were going to be. I'm sure the old men talked about the giants, and they were 30 feet tall. No, they were only 12 feet tall. The point is, don't we always embellish things when we can't get victory over it? When you can't quit something, don't you always make it harder to overcome? And when you see someone else quitting something that you couldn't quit, don't you always say, well, they'll go back to it. Isn't that what we do? You know what they did? they were courageous over the giants. They conquered the enemies that were before them previously. They did what their fathers were not able to do. They fought the enemies. They defeated the enemies. And because they were able to conquer their other enemies, they were able to conquer the giants. And the Lord showed them the same victory that you had over these people, I'm going to give you over the big giants in the land. You say, what's the point? The point is this, just as a believer, you're going to conquer your Christian life. You're going to go out and conquer different things in your life. But there are going to be some giants that are going to show up. And there's going to be some bigger battles that you're going to have to overcome. And you're going to need boldness to fight some things in your life that to you are a giant and to you are things that have really just loomed over you and controlled you. But if you are willing to be like David and be bold and be like Joshua and be bold, you'll be able to fight the giants in your life just as easily as you fought every other battle. The giants always look bigger and they always look worse, but the fact is they all fall the same way. They all die the same way. Goliath was killed with a little stone. It was a big looming battle that kept all the people at bay for 40 days. It kept the nation of Israel on edge. And David went in and destroyed him. Well, just like that, this is what these men did. I wonder if David thought about that. I wonder when David went and seen Goliath, I wonder if he thought about his forefathers that had beat the giants in the land during Joshua's time. I wonder if he reminisced and said, wait a minute, if our forefathers could have beat these giants, why can't I beat the giant? The fact of the matter is that if you look at in the Christian life, you're going to have giants in your life that you got to fight. But you know what? Other people have faced those same giants. And they've defeated them in Jesus Christ. So why can't you? Well, you can if you're willing to conquer. If you're willing to fight. Every believer in this room should have a testimony of a giant in their life that they conquered. A giant that loomed over them. A giant that brought them just troubles and issues. Whatever sin, whatever problem it was, you ought to have a testimony that you, through the power and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, defeated the giant that was in your life. Let me tell you, if you don't get rid of that giant, he just keeps getting bigger. And you know what? That giant in your life that you don't defeat, your kids see that you can't defeat him. And then they think they can't defeat him. Whatever sin it is in your life that you fight, if you leave it undone, your kids will think they can't defeat it. And then their kids will think they can't defeat it. And now you got generations coming up that let sin run rampant because they won't face the enemy with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will give you victory over the largest, most formidable enemy you have. He'll give you victory. You know, that fight that you have with that giant might take a long time to overcome him. Not all battles are won today. Matter of fact, some battles take a while. In the Christian life, you're going to find that there are sins and there are problems, and sometimes there's sins of the flesh, or maybe there's sins of the mind. Maybe there's things that you deal with emotionally that you just need to just give to Christ, whatever it is. But they're giants to you, but you need to fight that giant. And you got to learn to fight him every day. And if you fight him every day, sooner or later, you'll beat him through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Problem is, some things happen and they just get entrenched in our life. First generation Christians, you understand that when you get saved, and you get saved before you're surrounded by all the things that God would want you to be surrounded with, you pick up some things that are hard to root out. It's kind of like a garden. You go out and plow just a field of just, you know, just a part in your backyard that's never been tilled. It's going to take a lot of work to get that land ready, right? But you keep working it and working it. It gets easier and easier to work it. Well, in the Christian life, when you first get saved, there's always things that we end up having to drag along for a while. Some sins that just get in with us and we fight them. But, you know, the fact of the matter is you can get victory over that sin. You can get victory over that problem. You might battle that sin for a long time. I remember there was a sin that I fought. I fought it for 30 years, fought that thing, begged God to give me victory over it. Fought it and lost and fought. Just go constantly. Literally took 30 years to get victory over it. Maybe more. And then the Lord took care of it. He gave me the victory over it. But boy, you can't quit. You can't quit fighting. There was a time I thought, I'll never get victory over this. I'll never be able to bring this under subjection. I'll never be able to bring it under the power of Christ. But then I remember, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It doesn't matter what sin it is. It doesn't matter what problem is. It doesn't matter what it is that you're fighting in the Christian life. You can get victory over it. And some things are just bigger than life. But you know, the blood of Jesus Christ still cleanses us from all sin. And the Holy Ghost is still able to fill you so that you can do exceeding above all that he can do exceeding above all that you ask or think. The Lord can do it. But you got to fight it. And they fought it. And they got rid of those giants and they got the victory. And then notice in verse 23, they were comforted. You know what they were comforted with? Rest. You know what's a blessing about a fight? Is rest. You know what the blessing of getting victory over something is? Being able to enjoy the victory. Enjoy the Christian life. The Bible says in verse 23, Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. And the land rested from war. Don't you want to be in a place in your life where you get some rest in the Christian life? Don't you want to bring these sins under subjection in your younger years so as you get older you're not fighting some of the battles that you would have to fight if you didn't bring that flesh under control? Because I'm here to tell you, if you don't bring the flesh under control in your 20s and in your 30s, you're going to have to do it in your 40s, in your 50s, in your 60s, in your 70s, in your 80s, in your 90s. You're going to keep fighting it. Well, I'm sure Brother Jerry could attest to things that the Lord's given him victory over that you don't have to deal with now. And who wants to deal with them at 87 years old, right? There's some things you get to, you say, boy, Lord, thank you. You gave me victory over that a long time ago. I just wouldn't have the energy to fight it today. Because you know what happens to some folks? They just quit fighting. And they just keep yielding. And they say, well, it's too late now. I'm this age. Why quit now? How many times do you hear people say that? Why quit now? I'm 60. Why quit now? I'm 70. Why not fight and get some rest? Why not bring it under subjection so you can enjoy the Christian life? Why not enjoy the things the Lord gave you instead of being under constant conviction? Being under constant condemnation because you know you shouldn't be doing something. Why not bring it under subjection so that you're not always just burdened by the sin that steals your energy and steals your money and steals your time? I mean, sin just has a way of just wearing us out. Joshua, the type of Christ, is accredited with the victory and the distribution of the land. And notice that Joshua gives them rest. You know what you read over there in the book of Hebrews? That Jesus gives us rest. You know what Jesus told the disciples? He said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isn't that really what people want, is rest? Don't you get tired of the old rat race? I know we live in Gladwin. I know that there's not much of a rat race here, but this is just as much of a rat race as anywhere else. Why, the rats are everywhere. You're going to deal with it no matter if you're in a big city, a little city. Just bringing your life under subjection to Jesus Christ is going to bring rest. And the victory you enjoy in the Christian life only is going to come through Jesus Christ. You can't get it anywhere else. You can't buy it. There's not some easy seminar you could go to. You know, they got the seminars that you can go to so they can teach you to be a better person. Your own life coach. A life coach. And all that is you buy their stuff and then they're going to encourage you on. You get it for free. You got your own personal life coach. Me. Come to church, listen to the preaching. I tell you what to do, and you don't have to pay nothing. You leave. You laugh and say, yeah, you're not much of a life coach. Yeah, it's because you don't listen. It's because you don't listen. If you were paying $250 a half hour to sit down with me, you'd listen a little bit more, wouldn't you? Yeah, think about it. These people go to the counselors. The same thing you go to the counselor, you hear from the pulpit, but better. Amen. It's true. But I'm not sitting there asking you how you feel. What do you think about that, Miss Christine? I don't care what you think. I'm going to tell you what you need to know. See, he don't want to offend you. But sometimes the truth is offensive. You know what the Bible says over in Isaiah, he talks about the truth. He says the truth is laying in the streets. Nobody's interested in the truth today. Do you realize that Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You want rest? It's only going to come from Jesus Christ. You can't find it anywhere else. You say, how do you know that? Because I know people. And I've watched people try to find things in every different avenue. And they try it in any different religion, in any different platform. And you know what works? That. It's the only thing that works. If you want to have victory, you got to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But you don't just get victory, you get comfort. Isn't it comforting to go to bed at night and know that you've lived for Christ and you lay your head on the pillow and you talk to the Lord before you go to sleep and just know that your heart is right where it should be with the Lord because you put things in order? Why, if you don't put things in order, then you won't fellowship with Him and you won't read your Bible and you won't pray and you won't want to be in church. But the fact is, when you're fighting the fight, there's a fruit that comes, and that fruit is comfort and rest. I'm telling you, what you need more than anything is just a little bit of rest. Do you ever notice that the Lord's mercies are new every day? Every day. Why? Because He knows you need it. He knows you need rest. And the believer that experiences rest in the Lord Jesus Christ will find that the cares of this world, all the troublesome times, all the bad news, all the distresses can't move them. I go on, I don't get on the news much, but every time I go and check out the news sites, all it is doom and gloom. That's all it is. You'd swear this world is going to just implode by tomorrow. That's all the news is. And you know what? I don't worry about it. I just read the other day somewhere that Michigan is a hot spot for COVID stuff. And I said, oh, wow, I didn't know that. I don't care. You say, why? Because I'm not worried about it. You say, why? You should be. Why should I be? If you're living for the Lord and you're doing right, you get COVID and die, what do you care? That may sound terrible. But the point is, if you're living for Christ and you get sick and the Lord takes you home, you don't have nothing to worry about. You know when you worry? When you're not living right. You know when you worry? When you're not doing what the Lord tells you to do. Because you don't get rest then. There is no comfort. What do they say? There's no rest for the wicked, I think is what they like to say. No rest for the wicked. Why? Because how can you find comfort if you're not doing what the Lord tells you to do? Bible says the land rested from war. You know what that tells me? That sooner or later in the Christian life, you're going to battle, but you're going to find some rest. And enjoy the rest. Now there's always a battle that's somewhere, always looming, isn't there? There's always an enemy looking to try to get in. And boy, I'll tell you, he is very slick. He's very slick. Boy, the enemy's been working and working and just taking one away, a little bit at a time. Enemies came in and he's gotten a hold on four of our young people in our church that was doing good, and the enemy just came in and plucked them right out. So how do you do that? Through subtlety. Our young people that we love and I've spent time with, and you teach them and just drop right off. The devil gets right in there. Don't think that you wouldn't be one of them. Don't think that you won't be the next person. If you don't keep fighting, if you don't take this book and take it to heart, The devil will come right in. He'll snatch you out just as quick. You know why he got them? Because they weren't fighting. They got complacent. Their minds got at ease. The cares of this world got more important. The lust of other things. You say, well, you shouldn't say that. That's terrible to say that about our kids. Well, what else was it? What else was it? These aren't kids that didn't know any better. And don't think that you adults are any less. Because he's gotten the adults too. And he'll pluck you right up and pull you out too. You say, why? Because you're not willing to fight. You have to fight. It's worth fighting for. The Christian life is worth fighting for. I would die for the Lord Jesus Christ than to give in and give in to the world. You say, why? Because the world isn't going to give me anything more. The world can't give me anything Jesus Christ can't give me. The world is just things. And how long can you have things? For a moment. For a moment. All the things that we've ever acquired in this life only last for a moment. But the rest that you get from the Lord, I'm looking forward to the millennium. I'm looking forward to the Lord Jesus Christ coming back and this life being over and getting rest for all eternity. Yes, sir. The Christian life is the battle. There's no rest per se in the Christian life. I mean, you're always on edge to keep the battle right where it needs to be. But one day the Lord's going to come back. He's going to catch us out of here. And you know when your rest comes? Then. And that's when the full victory comes. But up till then, doesn't the Lord still give you some pleasant times? Doesn't he lead you beside the gentle waters? Doesn't he calm your heart? And he gets you just refreshed enough to get ready for the next battle. Let's pray. Father, just thank you, Lord, for this book and for the truth of the Scripture and for the testimony, Lord, we get from Joshua to know that we just need to fight. And we can get victory, and we will get victory, and we will enjoy the fruits of the victory. But Lord, the battle doesn't end until you call us home. Help us to have the right heart and the right attitude as we fight sin and fight self and fight Satan, Lord, just putting all those things in the place they ought to be. Lord, give us the strength we need to live for you. Lord, help us not to think more highly of ourselves, understanding that we can fall just as easily as anyone else. But give us victory, give us strength, so that Jesus Christ can receive all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I swear.
As the panel plays, we'll tarry in prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Moment of heart searching. We think about some Christians that we miss that aren't living for the Lord anymore, and yet we're not looking down at them because, just like the preacher said, that could be us. They stop fighting, and the battle isn't in exactly what you're doing. The battle's in your heart. You see, those people that fell out of church, unfortunately, they quit fighting in their heart long before it ever made it to their actions. I'd like to have a time of heart searching. Maybe you just need to come down to the old-fashioned altar and get some help from the Lord. Ask him to give you that rest. Some of you are weary in here, and if you don't find that rest, you're going to fall off. Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But you've got to come to him. Jesus Christ said, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Some Christians are praying. Maybe you need to come do some praying. Just a couple minutes we're going to sing, but the lyrics of this song say, "I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I wonder when the last time is that you could say I've got some new heights, I've gained some new victories. It was hard, but the Lord got me through it. When was the last time you could truly say I've got the victory, I'm right with the Lord? Wouldn't you like to be in that sweet spot of the will of God again? Wouldn't you like to lay your head on your pillow tonight and know you're right with the Lord? Some of you, it's been a long time. Jesus Christ is still knocking. But it's up to you. It's up to you if you'll open that door. Choose to live for Him this week. Lord, help each and every one of us, Lord. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. You know each one of our hearts. You know our failings. You know our shortcomings, Lord. You know where we failed you this week. But help us, Lord, to have a renewed zeal and a vigor to truly live for you, Lord, and not just be a Christian in appearance, but in heart. In Jesus' name, amen.